So I want you to take a minute this morning and try to think of the moments, I think there's probably more than one, but the moments in your life where you have felt the most pure joy. Not talking about, the first car that you bought or when you closed on your house, which is probably pretty neat, but I mean pure joy. I was thinking about that this week in my life, some of those times I've shared with you before when I get the opportunity to baptize someone. There's just a pure joy there. Better than that is when I get the opportunity to pray the prayer of salvation with someone. There's just pure joy there. There was pure joy on the day I married my wife. I very vividly remember that. But probably really close to the top of that list, up there with those, is the day that my children were born. That moment when you get to hold your baby for the first time. And I've had five now, and it never gets any less joyful every single time. And so I was kind of reflecting on that and thinking about just the joy of just that brand new baby, 5 minutes old. And you're holding that little baby and just how pure and joyful that moment is. And then I got reflecting on the time of year that we're celebrating in Christmas time. I can't imagine the joy of that little baby, of the Savior of the world, the Word of God become flesh. That little, innocent, pure moment of holding that baby and how much joy the whole world rejoices at the birth of that baby. Today, our message, our theme for Advent is about joy. That's what we're going to be talking about. And we're going to do that by looking at the story of the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. This is a story we're probably pretty familiar with, but like all that we've done during the season, I hope we look at it with fresh eyes. I want us to look at this story like we've never heard it before. And that's my goal for today. So we're in Luke chapter 2, and I want to read verses 8 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray. Father, as we come today, I ask that you would, as always, open up our hearts and minds to your word. But today, especially, today we approach a story that even if it was our first time in church this morning, we probably heard this story before this time of year. And so, Father, I ask that you would open up our hearts and minds to see this story in a fresh way, in the way that you intended it from the beginning, that it wouldn't be just a routine, it wouldn't just be a nice story, but we would see the amazing majesty and glory and good news of what is happening here. Father, I ask that as we study, as we learn these things, as we hear your word, that we would internalize those things, that they wouldn't just be words that we hear, but they become a part of who we are in our life, and that we would go from this place changed, this place closer to you, more passionate about the mission you've put us on. And so, Father, bless our time today with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message today is Finding Joy in the Birth of Jesus. And what I want to do, if you look at our passage in verse 9, it says the shepherds were terrified. Terrified. And then in verse 20, it says they went away praising and worshiping and rejoicing in God. That's quite a contrast in just a few short verses. And so what I want to do is I want to see what happened between verse 9 and verse 20. How did they go from terrified to rejoicing and praising God? What was this journey? I want to travel on this journey with them. And so I want to look at these things as they go. The first thing we're going to look at is their reverence in God's presence. The glory of the Lord shone about them. And I want to look at the reverence they had. And then I want to look at the fact that they stood in awe of the word of God. God brought them an incredible message on this night. And then thirdly, their obedience to God's mission. We see the shepherds as eager missionaries to go out and to speak the word of God. And finally, the joy they find in the Savior, in God's salvation. And always, as we've done in the past two Sundays of our Advent series, I don't want us to only look back on the first coming of Jesus. I want us to look forward on the second coming of Jesus and what this means for you and I today as we live our lives. So I want to begin by looking at the reverence in God's presence. If we look back at the first couple of verses of the passage, it says, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. God shows up in a big way in this passage. But we're so familiar with the story, I think we don't realize what exactly is happening here, and especially who God shows up in the presence of. In this society, a shepherd was a little lower than a blue-collar worker. They often slept outside in the fields with their sheep. Because of the nature of their work, they were usually considered unclean. And so they didn't, at many times, most often, they didn't even get to go to the temple and worship God. Because of the job they did, they were unclean and weren't allowed to be in the temple most of the time. And so these are the people that God shows up to. They are standing, men that could hardly even go into the temple are now standing in the very presence of God. The glory of God is showing about them. And when they realize that it's God's presence, they are terrified. They are terrified. Holy fear is the only proper response to the presence of God. When the glory of God shows around you, the only proper response is holy fear. So as we look forward to the day Christ comes again, we need to look at our own situation. They stood in the presence of God, which is an incredible thing. The glory of God shone around them. The angel of the Lord spoke to them. They stood in the presence of God. But do you know what we have today is more something we should be even more reverent of? I want to show you what I mean by that. If you turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. As you imagine the shepherds standing in the presence of God and being terrified with holy fear. And then we look over into 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. Do you see what's happening there? The shepherds stood in the presence of God. In our day and age, because of what Jesus Christ has done, where is the presence of God? It's in each and every one of us. When's the last time you stood in reverent and holy fear at the fact that the Spirit of God resides within you? The presence of God, the glory of God shows round about you every day that you walk in Him. That is amazing. And without the rest of the story, that is terrifying. The next thing we see in the passage is that they stand in awe of God's word. I can't imagine what this looked like in verses 10 through 14. The angel of the Lord said to them, "Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with an angel with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." How does the word of God appear in this passage? The first thing we need to see is that it's given by angels. Anytime in Scripture that an angel shows up, it's an incredible event. And actually, if you've ever read your Bible from cover to cover, you know that it's also an incredibly rare event. Angels don't just show up all the time in every chapter. It's very rare. And so anytime an angel shows up and we get the word of God directly from one of his messengers, from an angel, it's a pretty special event. But then a multitude of angels singing? I can imagine that. I can imagine what the shepherds stood and heard that night. Not even Moses, Noah, Elijah, none of the greatest men in the Scripture ever got to experience a whole host of heavenly angels singing praises to God. But you know who did get to hear it? Shepherds. Average Joes. Unclean guys sleeping out in the field with their sheep. Now, with that being said, I want to look at what their message is. The angel says, "I've got great news." It starts out really good. He says, "Don't be afraid. I've got great news for you. Incredible news. A Savior has been born, and he will rescue everyone. He has come, and this is good news for all people." And then the message gets really strange. The angel says, "This will be a sign to you. You will know you found the baby because he will be wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Now, we've heard that so many times. That's a beautiful picture, right? Baby Jesus lying in a manger. That's a feed bin for animals. It's what the cows and the sheep ate out of in the stable. That's really strange. Can you imagine the first time the shepherds heard that? They're like, "And the Savior has been born, and this will be a sign to you. He's lying in a feed bin for animals." Well, that's kind of strange. That'd be like you coming over to my house when I just had a new baby and you're like, "Hey, Shane, where's your baby?" "Oh, I keep him in the dog dish over there." That's the way it would have sounded to the shepherds, exactly like that. And they probably were standing in the presence of God trying not to laugh. Did he just say a manger? That's the word of God that he gives to them. And we're going to see just in a minute what they did with that strange word of God that he has given. They got this incredible word from God, but it was just a minute piece of the picture and a strange word at that, something that was probably kind of confusing to them. And they didn't really understand what was going on. They stood in awe of this little detail about the Savior. He's been born. They don't know anything else about the story. They don't know that he's going to do miracles, that he's going to teach, that he's going to die on a cross and be raised again. They don't know any of those things. They've just been given this little word from God, and a strange word at that. Now, as we look forward to the second coming of Christ, do you realize that we've been given the rest of the story? If the shepherd stood in awe at the fact that there was going to be a baby in a stable, how much more should we stand in awe at the fact that God has given us the story from beginning to end? He has showed us the people in history who looked forward to this, the chosen people of God who couldn't wait for the Savior to get here. And then he shows us the birth of the Messiah in all these wonderful stories that we know so well this time of year. And then he shows us the life of Jesus, the miracles he performed, all the incredible things that he taught that we read, that we spent the last 3 years in the book of John seeing. These amazing teachings of Jesus Christ. And then we know the story that he went to the cross to pay the price for our sins. We know that he rose victorious on the third day. He conquered death for you and for me. We know that he's ascended into heaven. And we know that he's coming back. The Bible even tells us the end of the story. We have a word from God, the complete word from God from beginning to end. Brothers and sisters, do you stand in awe of that fact? We should regularly stand in awe. Not take for granted that there's a Bible in front of every one of you in the pew. There's two of these sitting next to my chair at home. There's dozens of them in my office. How often is this mundane when we should be standing in awe of the Word of God? and the fact that God has given his word to us average Joes, to us dirty shepherds, just living our lives. So the next thing we see after the shepherds have stood in awe of the word of God, then we see their obedience to God's mission. In verses 15 through 17, it says, "When the angels had left them and they had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child." Why do you think God gave this word to the shepherds? Do you think he gave the word to the shepherds because he wanted it to be a secret? He's like, "Hey, you guys are out in the field away from all the people. So I want to tell you, Savior's been born. And he's been born for good news, for joy, for all people. Now, shh, don't tell anybody." I don't think that was God's purpose. The reason he came and spoke to the shepherds is because he wanted them to go to see this amazing thing and then to tell everybody. And I think it's no mistake that he chose shepherds to do this, because I don't think the shepherds would sit and mull over the theology of this event. Well, let's think about this. Let's discuss the manger aspect of the birth of the Savior. It's not what they did. The Bible says they went straight to Bethlehem. And I think also the shepherds weren't going to go and see this thing and come away going, "You know what? We have information nobody else has. I think we could use this to our advantage." No, the shepherds were incredibly honored. And they couldn't wait to tell everyone the good news. God had done an amazing thing for them. And if they had kept it a secret, no one would have known this incredible news. But God had a mission for them. This was good news. In verse 10, it tells us this was good news for who? For the other shepherds? Go tell the other shepherds. This was good news for your friends and family. Just keep it there. This was good news for the people on your block. What does verse 10 say? It's good news for who? All people, everybody. If the shepherds had not gone on their mission, then the good news for all people would have died right there. So what does this mean for us today as we look forward to the second coming of Christ? Again, the shepherds got to tell the beginning of the story. Guess what just happened? A Savior has been born. We don't know where it's going from here, but we know he's been born. We get to tell the whole story. We get to tell the true gospel, the good news of the end of the story of the Savior coming. We've got the whole story, and we're called to take it to the world. Since it is good news for all people, then we carry on the mission that the shepherds started. Do you realize that? 2,000 years ago, there was some shepherds. And we are the great, 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 I don't know how many greats. I'm not as good at math as Josh is. We are the grandchildren of that work, of that mission, of that message. This last week, I was talking to my neighbor. I actually did a funeral for the family of some of my neighbors. And we had a really good talk. I was sitting around the table with them, and they were just telling stories about family and things. And he told me that his family homesteaded up outside of Salida, had some land outside of Salida, and it's been in their family for well over 100 years because they homesteaded there. And as he was telling me this story, he began to tell me about how, you know, as family begins to move away and live in different cities and different states, and, you know, it's become a difficult thing but a priority that they want to keep this family land. This has been in their family for 100 years, and they don't want to just sell it off or get rid of it because there's a legacy there, and that's really important to them. Our shepherd buddies homesteaded the gospel that night, and we have a legacy that's gone on for 2,000 years. We don't want to lose that. We don't want to be as some who peddle the gospel for profit. We don't want to sell that off. We want to continue the legacy that they started, and we're called to continue the good news the shepherds started, and we're called to do this for how long? Till Jesus comes again. That's the mission. And then, once we understand those things, we can move into the joy of God's salvation. The story ends in verses 18 through 20. It says, "All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart and meditated on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. It's a really neat picture of joy here. I think we get three different expressions of joy in this passage. The first one is amazement. The people who heard this story were filled with joy, and it came as, this is incredible. This is amazing. I've never heard anything like this. And then we have the picture of Mary, right? Do you think she had joy on that night? Yeah. But how did her joy express itself? I love that picture because it reminded me of the joy of holding my children for the first time. When my children were born, did I pull a Lion King and hold them up in the air and say, hey, everybody, I've got a baby? No, how does that joy express itself? I'm just going to sit and I'm just going to enjoy this moment. And then we have the shepherds who went away singing songs and praising God in their joy. These last three verses are all about joy. They give us a beautiful picture of joy. So where does the joy come in? They started terrified. They ended singing praises. They were in the presence of God. They heard and received a word from God. They were obedient to that word. And then there was joy. Did you pick that up? They stood in the presence of God. They received a word from God. And they were obedient to that word. And it resulted in joy. Joy inexpressible. And I love that they go and they see that everything turned out, the Bible says, just as they were told. It all turned out exactly as God had promised. God is faithful. And when we stand in his presence and we hear his word and we follow in obedience, guess what we'll see at the end of it all? It was just as we have been told. God is faithful. God is faithful. So what does that mean for us today? What does that mean as we look forward to the coming of Christ? The shepherds were overjoyed to announce the dawning of God's salvation. Something has begun, and I am filled with so much joy I can't contain it. We announce the completion of God's salvation. Something has happened. Something has happened, and it means the salvation for all of us. And I can tell you the whole story, and I can tell you what it means. I can tell you how I've been rescued from my sins, and I can tell you that that's available to you. How much more joy? How much greater should our joy be that we get to tell that message? I can think of no greater source of joy than being the heralds of God's salvation. He's put that in our hands. I hope we, if nothing else, I hope we walk away from this place today glorifying and praising God of these great things, these incredible things that he has revealed to us. So as we close today, I want to go back, and I want to see what we do. What can I do when I walk out of the church today? When I leave these doors, what's step number one? And the first thing that I can be confident of is that we can live in power and bravery in this world. So we all so often live in fear, but we don't need to. Because the most fearful, reverent, powerful thing in all the universe lives in us when we are followers of Jesus Christ. When we have been saved through his death and resurrection, the very presence of God lives in us. We carry around that reverence with us every day so we can be brave and powerful in this world. God is with us. Who can be against us? Romans 8:31, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 27:1. The second thing is that we can be bold as we walk through this world and declare the things of God. Why? Because we have the authority of the Word of God. We have the completed Word of God. Do you realize that when I speak of this book and the things contained with it, it's the only thing I can be 100% confident about? I don't know how many times I've spoke on other things and made a fool of myself. But when I speak God's Word, I have God's authority. It doesn't come from me. It's not what I've made up. It's not a story I told. It's not my knowledge or my understanding. It is the word of God, and I can speak with authority. The word of the Lord is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. Thirdly, when we've been given such an incredible legacy and eternal mission, we need to be obedient. If you understand that the presence of God lives in you and there's incredible reverence there, and you understand that you stand on the authority, the word of God, then why are you not obedient? Do you know that it doesn't take any special strength, power, authority, skill, education to obey God? We don't need any of those things. You can be obedient. All it takes is obedience to what God has said. And the last thing, we have news of the Savior. When my kids were born, I didn't keep it a secret. There was pure joy, and I couldn't wait to tell everybody about it. Be joyful. You have news of the Savior. I want to share with you one last thing from the book of John. And at this point, you guys are probably thinking, man, Shane has some issues with John. He won't stay away from it. But I couldn't think of any better way to end this than John chapter 15 and 16. There's one verse I want to share with you in each one of those chapters. We can have joy in the coming of Christ when he showed up that night as a little baby. In John 15, 11, it says, I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. And we can have joy that Jesus is coming again. In John chapter 16, verse 22. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Have you had sorrow in your life? Have you had joy killers in your life before? Jesus gives us an incredible promise. This is what we look forward to in the second coming of Christ. He said, now, for a little while, there's still going to be sorrow around. It's going to be there. But a day is coming when I will return, and you will have a joy that cannot be stolen from you, cannot be taken from you. It is complete and perfect and eternal. That is the joy that is coming back to meet us. And so this morning, we're going to light our Advent candles. And we have our two candles from the last couple weeks and the things that we've talked about. But today we have a special candle, the pink candle that's been up here that doesn't match the rest. It's not because they ran out of purple candles. The pink candle is about joy. It is about the incredible joy of the news of the birth of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to invite Fred to come forward. Fred's going to read a passage for us. From Isaiah chapter 35, and the band's going to come up and lead us in one final joyful song, and then I want to share one last thing as we close in prayer today.
I'm reading from Isaiah verses 1 through 4 and verse 10, joy of the redeemed. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, for God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Amen.
Go ahead and stand up.
If we look back at our passage into verse 10, and we hear the announcement of the angels, we will see the purpose of the birth of Jesus Christ. And the purpose is for our joy. Amen? Let's pray. Father, as we come today reflect on your word and what you've said and what you've taught us, Lord, we know that there is reverence, awe, obedience, all involved in these things. I ask that you empower us for those things. We know we can't do them on our own. But Father, I ask that as we walk with you and as we learn to live those things, I ask for pure joy in our lives. Jesus Christ was born so that there would be joy. Joy for each and every one of us in his salvation. And so, Father, I ask that as we leave this place, our joy would be radiant. I ask that the men and women around us would seek to find the source of our joy, that it would be contagious, that we, like the shepherds, could not contain the joy that we have in the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then, Father, I ask through the power of your Spirit that we would truly be heralds of your good news, that people would be amazed at these things and come to see what the Lord has done through Jesus Christ. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, and we find incredible, pure joy in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you.